Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of May 17th. This week we feature two conversations. The first is with Clayton Sinyai, who is a member of the Amalgamated Transit Union and also the Catholic Labor Network. And he talks a bit about the Pope's recent encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, and how that applies to the labor movement and some of the issues that they're facing. The second conversation is with the Archbishop of Nagasaki in Japan, who visited us here at America House and brought with him a remnant of a statue of Mary that once graced the cathedral in Nagasaki, which was, of course, destroyed by the atomic bomb. So we have these two conversations for you, and we'll begin with Clayton Sinyai. We spoke at Princeton University.
I'm Clayton Sinyai. I am Director of Strategic Campaigns at the Amalgamated Transit Union, the ATU. We represent most of the subway and bus operators in North America, with New York being a prominent exception. Different union there.
And you're also part of the Catholic Labor Network, so maybe you can just talk briefly about how, in general, your faith has influenced your work with trade unions.
My faith has been informing my social action and my trade union action from as long as I've been doing it. Today, I am treasurer of the Catholic Labor Network. We are a national network of Catholic trade unionists who are interested in the Church's social teaching and like to share experiences and try to promote the Church's social teaching within our power. We do an annual gathering before the Catholic Social Ministry Gathering or Catholic Social Ministry Conference, and we maintain a website with different resources on Catholic social teaching and come together to support labor and try to advance Catholic values within the movement.
Now, we're here speaking at a conference on Benedict's latest encyclical, which deals with issues of the economy, and just finished a talk. And one of the things that came up was, you know, the question of how Catholic is the labor movement. And at a time, it didn't seem like there was a need for a Catholic labor network because the working class was so thoroughly Catholic, but that has changed, as you said.
Yes. In 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the working class in the United States was largely Catholic. And as a result, there were lots of institutions that were promoting Catholic social teaching. Association of Catholic Trade Unionists was very large. There were large numbers of Catholic labor schools around the country where working people could learn both the fundamentals of trade unionism and Catholic values. Most of those have gone away. John Court, who had headed the Act II, was actually one of the early members of the Catholic Labor Network, and a lot of folks are kind of alumni of the Catholic worker schools and things of the 40s and into the 50s.
Well, the conference is really looking at the latest, as I said, the papal encyclical Caritatis in Veritate, and you just spoke about some of the elements that you found compelling in the work and that can speak to labor unions today, and one of which is the question of the Employee Free Choice Act, which is actually something that is being debated today in the United States. What did you think that you took away from the encyclical, and what does it have to say about that particular piece of legislation?
Well, I thought it was a very interesting coincidence, really, more than anything else, that it came out at the time it did and said what it did. The Holy Father came out and said in the encyclical that we need to protect workers' ability to form trade unions even more now than in the past. This came along at precisely the time that we have been seeing a national debate going on about the Employee Free Choice Act, which was a measure designed to protect workers who are fired in the course of attempting to join a labor union, unlawfully fired, would stiffen the penalties and things like that. The Catholic Labor Network has tried in the past couple of years to engage Catholic legislators on this issue and what Catholic social teaching says about the right to organize and things like that. And the fact that Benedict came out and reaffirmed that this right? He said it's in danger because of globalization. He said that many governments are restricting it, and that on the contrary, governments should be protecting this right even more than in the past, protecting their power to do that. Seemed to be speaking directly, you know, by coincidence, I'm sure, seemed to be speaking directly to a public policy debate that's going on in the United States. Unfortunately, it's been my experience, Catholics right and left tend to take their political ideology first and church social teaching second, and close their eyes at the parts that don't agree with the parts of the church teaching that don't agree with the former. So I haven't heard anyone responding to what this means for the Employee Free Choice Act. No Catholic legislators or business leaders or clergy that I know of have addressed that. Now, of course, the statement, Benedict's statement, doesn't say anything about the Employee Free Choice Act. And we can't say, it wouldn't be reasonable to say that this is construed as some sort of endorsement. What it is the Employee Free Choice Act was consistent with the intent of the Holy Father. And I would be curious at least to hear from some folks who opposed it as to what alternative measures they would make, or whether they even agreed with the fact that protecting this right is even more important than in the past.
And this right would give people the opportunity to, right now there is this big push against unions and against organizing, and it would allow, give a little more freedom for people in workplaces to organize.
Correct.
Now, one question that came up in our discussion was, what is in the document? Was there any kind of critique of labor unions in there, or is something that you took out of the document that you thought, well, this is something that we should perhaps look at ourselves?
Benedict looked very closely at the global trade situation and was trying to figure out how it could be used both to protect the rights of workers but also to alleviate global poverty. Benedict is obviously concerned with the global South, and seeing that globalization isn't used to despoil the nations of what I guess used to be called the Third World, but rather to help them develop. And he's not kind to protectionist measures that would try to seal off the affluent world from the Third World. Now, labor organizations have long been in the business of critiquing liberalized global trade, usually from the perspective of unless these agreements contain corollaries that will protect the rights of workers abroad so that workers abroad have the same right to organize and the same right to a safe workplace that workers in the developed world have, until that, it's not to their benefit to have this trade liberalization. And that is a charitable impulse. We need to make sure and examine our own conscience every time one of these issues comes up, though, that we're not in the business of primarily trying to protect affluent workers at the expense of workers abroad. Trade has to be a tool to uplift workers in other nations as well as our own. And Benedict specifically tells trade unionists that they have to take more account of people outside their own membership.
One final question. There has been some antagonism, especially in the last, say, 30 years between labor unions and management. Yet, as you described in your talk, you're not necessarily interested in, you know, class warfare, but more kind of class cooperation. How does that conversation take place? Are you trying to – it sounds like from what you said that – it's not so much about trying to politically pressure these groups, but to bring about, as Benedict writes, some kind of almost conversion.
For sure. It's interesting to go back and reflect on the fact that in the 1950s, when workers voted for a trade union under the National Labor Relations Act or expressed interest, the employer generally would stay out of the decision-making process to a large extent. And if they did vote to form a union, employer would try to make the best of it by establishing some kind of a reasonably cooperative relationship with their workers. It's very reminiscent of the goals of Catholic social teaching and what trade unions are ideally supposed to be for if reasonable cooperation can be developed. that spirit of cooperation has disappeared in most sectors of our economy. In large numbers of cases, we see firms, when their workers try to form a union, will go out and use often illegal tactics, firing people for exercising their lawful right to organize, and in order to prevent them from doing so. They're making a dollars and cents analysis that it's cheaper to pay the fines for breaking the law than it is to deal with a union that's going to demand reasonable wages and benefits and fair and equitable treatment for working people. That's the spirit we would like to see come back, and it's going to require goodwill on both sides, obviously, is to figure out something, economic arrangements that can work to the benefit of both workers and owners of firms.
Well, Clayton, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, our thanks to Clayton Sinyai. And now we feature a conversation with the Archbishop of Nagasaki, Joseph Takami, who visited us here at America House in conjunction with his visit to the United Nations in the campaign against nuclear weapons.
Well, thank you so much for coming and visiting. I know you have a busy day, but maybe you could perhaps begin by just explaining to us the reason for your visit to the United States and to the United Nations.
ありがとうございます。
Thank you very much.
NPT の会議に合わせて、
I'm here. I'm not to participate in an NPT review conference, but I'm here because of the NPT review conference.
被爆マリアを持ってきて、
I'm traveling with the statue of the Mary, the survivor of the atomic bomb of Nagasaki.
軍備、特に核兵器の、無用さ無益さ、愚かさというか、それを訴えたい。
The message of Mary, the hibakusha, Mary, the survivor of the bomb, is to tell the people, to tell the world, the absurdity and foolishness of war, militarization, and nuclear weapons.
同じように、被爆マリアというのは平和を訴える。
And also, she is the messenger of peace.
そう、平和を作るためには、ただ、武器がなくなればできるものではないけれども。
Because we believe that to be a peacemaker,in order to create peace, you don't depend on weapons.
でも、たくさんの人たちここに集まっています、世界中から。平和のためにね。
There are many, many people committed to peace now here in New York. People committed to peace coming from all over the world.
そういう人々、それから今晩のようにパクスクリスティとかフランシスカインターナショナルの人たちと一緒に。
So I'm here because I would like to meet these people. I would like to know these committed people. And I'll be meeting パクスクリスティ USA people tonight.
お互いに平和のために、協力し合う、ある連帯して、お互いに平和のために力を合わせていきたい。
To, be together to unite our strength and to collaborate, so that the world would be a world without nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can describe a little more about the statue that you're bringing with us, the history for those of us here who might not be familiar with it.
その被爆の間についての歴史ですね。長崎はたくさんクリスチャンがいましたが、
長崎 historically has always been a place of Catholics.
長い250年の迫害の後、
Japan had 250 years of persecution of the Catholic Church.
自由の時代が来て、
and after 250 years when the Catholics were free,
やっと浦上の信者たちは、
他の
クリスチャンもそうでしたけど、自分たちの教会を建て始めました。
so they started building the cathedral.
彼らは非常に貧しかったので、
they were all very poor.
30年かかりました。
so it took them 30 years
to build. 日本では稀な時間です。こんなに長い時間をかけて
It's quite unusual that you people take 30 years to build our building.
で、20年後に
And after 20 years, the cathedral was completely destroyed.
原子爆弾によって破壊されました。だからまあその浦上総局だけでも1万2000人のうち8500人殺されました。まあこのマリア様はそういう浦上の信者だけでなくて、原子爆弾で、まあ、殺されたというか亡くなった人たち、そして戦争で亡くなったり苦しんだりしてたちの、なんていうか苦しみと苦しみを共にするマリアの姿だと。
So, Mary, this Mary, Mary the Hibakusha, is a Mary who accompanies all people who suffer from violence, especially the victims of war and conflicts.
まあ同時にでも、本当にその十字架のキリストと共に苦しんで、
Also Mary, who was standing at the foot of cross,
人類とか人々の救いのために、その苦しみを捧げたように、まあ、その今そのこういう苦しみを経ながら、しかし平和をまあ作るように私たちに訴えています。
Sharing the suffering of all people, victims of violence, Mary is inviting us to work for peace. どういうふうに使ったかっていうのは言わなくていいんですか？
だからまず、まあ、今年は原爆落ちて65年になります。そのためにゲルニカ、スペインのゲルニカに、向こうにはゲルニカは人類の歴史の中で最初に空爆を受けた町です。
In the history of humankind, it's the first place where they had carpet bombing.
そしてその4月26日のことです。で、ゲルニカでは毎年その4月26日に記念の式典やミサが行われています。でその日に合わせて行きました。そこの人たちとサーバイバーという生き残りの人たちがいます。その人たちと連帯して一緒に犠牲者のために祈り、そして平和のために祈りました。
Sort of renewed our commitment for peace with the people of Guernica.
それは長崎が原爆の被害を受ける最後の町にしてほしいという願い。
Because we share the same desire and plea that the Nagasaki should be the last place that would be attacked by nuclear weapon.
で、ゲルニカに行く前にまず教皇様にお会いして、私たちは36名の巡礼でした。そして教皇様に見せました、見てもらいました。祝福をお願いしましたら、教皇様は祝福してくれました。そしてとてもこう感動したように
しておられた。
そしてまあ、その後私だけグループは日本にも帰りました。私だけ一人で来ました。
Well, you know, the leadership of our country here, President Obama convened a meeting to talk about nuclear arms control. Yeah. What would you be your message to our country's leaders, our people who live here in the United States?About what further steps should be taken?
助言というか、こういう次のステップはとにかくオバマ大統領がクラクじゃなくてチェコのプラハで宣言したように、それを実行することだと思います。
In Prague last year, he should really concretize his commitment.
Yes. まあ難しいと思う。私は想像できますね。アメリカの詳しい事情は分からないけど。
But, I really でも hope that he will be faithful to his commitment.
日本のたくさんの私たちも含めて期待しています。
And many people in Japan, the Catholic Church also, expecting very much from President Obama.
だからオバマ大統領をサポートする人がアメリカにも必要です。たくさんいないといけないですね。彼を孤独にしてはいけないと思います。
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you think the agreement with Russia is a step in the right direction, but there's more needs to be done?
だからそのロシアとの、あの軍縮しましたけど、そうですね。それはまず第一歩で、
そうですね。まだまだですけど、まあ、急にはもちろんできないと思います。でも確実にバックしないで一歩ずつ進んでほしい。
Well, finally, I know your time is short, but I'd be interested. Maybe you could speak directly to, you know, the citizens of this country who have certain assumptions about what is needed to protect our national security. There's a lot of money spent on defense in this country.
その世界の情勢を見て軍備が必要だと思ってるかもしれない。
Many people believe that we have to militarize.
でもあのミリタライズすればするほど平和は危うくなるし、皆さん敵を作ることになると思います。だから軍備をなくすことを考えないといけない。
so、
他の
we have to really think of disarmament that this is the only way to peace, to genuine peace
お金を使うということは誰かが儲かってるわけですね。
You're spending so much money for armament, which means that some people are making a whole lot of money because of this.
でも別の経済システムを考えないといけない。
So we have to think of a different kind of economic system.
兵器を作ることで経済を作らないようにして、
あの、we shouldn't have an economy that's based on arms industry. We should not.
Well, just finally, as a point of comparison, Japan.Essentially, since World War II is a different model. There's not a lot. There's not a huge military industry there. More committed to peace.
いや、全くないわけではないですね。結局日本も部分的にパーツを作ってると思います。
So there are some industries making parts.
それは世界の経済というかエコノミーに欠かせなくなっているかもしれない。
So maybe we have made, created this kind of economy or structure that really needs this kind of industry.
でもそのおかげで実際に使われている武器がたくさんの人が死んで苦しんでいるわけですよ。
But then the problem is if you have arms, then that means that the arms are not sitting there, they're used, and they're used to kill people. Many people are victimized.
Yeah.武器によって国を守ることを考えという考えはもうアメリカだけじゃなく、アメリカからまず始めてほしい。
Starting with the United States in America, we should change our mentality or our belief that defense should be sort of armed kind of defense.
Okay.
Different kind of defense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for taking a few. You have.
Welcome.
I want to thank you again for joining us for the American Magazine podcast. Reminder to go online, where we have a couple of items worth reading, including a review of zombie films from the Jesuit Jack McLean and what it says about the Western consumer culture. Also, a video report from Father George Anderson on the plight of Cuban dissidents. Reminder that you can respond to our podcast by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy. For America Magazine.